Spirit of 608, episode 43. You're listening to the Spirit of 608 podcast. I'm your host, Lorraine Sanders. Keep listening for stories, tips, and advice from women at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. I call it FEST, and it's the future. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 43. Okay, before I get into introducing my awesome, badass, super cool guest for today, can I just say something about fashion? I feel like I really just need to point something out, and it kind of came from a conversation I had today with a really cool podcaster. Her name is Kelly Sayre, and she does the White Gloves Off podcast. So check that out if you're looking for another lady biz show to dig into. But she and I were chatting and she was saying, you know, I'm not really sure about connecting with this idea of fashion. As we were talking, I was like, you know what? I need to say something about this at the beginning of the next show because I get this a lot. Like as soon as I start talking about fashion or tell people that I write about fashion or I podcast about fashion or that it somehow has to do with my line of work, they'll have a reaction like, well, you know, I'm not sure what I can bring to a conversation about fashion because look at what I'm wearing, or I don't have time to think about fashion, or I'm not interested, or, you know, whatever the reason may be. I mean, a lot of women feel like they can't claim to have a connection to fashion and style. I could probably go along on and on about why that is psychologically for like a really long time, but suffice to say, it's a really common thing that lots of like very stylish, put together, successful women like Kelly say to me just in passing. And I hope she won't mind that I'm calling this part of our conversation out because it really wasn't like the point of our chat. It just stuck in my head. It made me think, hey, this is something I really want to mention to listeners and anybody who checks out this podcast. I have never clarified what I mean by fashion on this podcast. Now, sure, I'm as fascinated by what comes down the runway as, you know, anybody is. Gorgeous, beautiful clothing that appears in the pages of glossy magazines. It's gorgeous. It's a wonderful display of creativity. It's aspirational. But the fashion that I talk about and the fashion that I think about isn't really that inaccessible fashion. It's just fashion, meaning the stuff you put on your body. Like every day, all of us have to make a choice about what to wear. You can view it as fashion, or you can view it as just something utilitarian you do so you don't freeze to death when you go outside. But behind every garment is a fashion industry, an apparel industry. A lot of what we talk about here is building businesses within that industry and creating change within that industry. And that's subtly the point that I'm trying to get across, that the new ways emerging brands and fashion startups and this combination of fashion entrepreneurship and technology, the new things that all of that stuff brings about are the things that stand to push this entire fashion and apparel industry into a new and better place. And so that's why I think it's important to talk about fashion, not because of some kind of a trend or a look or a style that any of us should be adopting. We should all be adopting style that feels right to us. And, you know, for me, that's like a ton of secondhand clothing and weird vintage items and the same pair of black jeans pretty much like every single day and like the occasional splurge that's usually an item that I'll wear over and over and over again. And for you, it may be totally something different. I just wanted to point that out because Kelly really made me realize that I owe listeners a little bit of perspective or a little bit of insight into what my perspective is on fashion. And so that's it. It's super, super important for all of us to think about our clothing just like we think about our food and where our food comes from. But I don't think that that means that you need to do anything specific in terms of the aesthetics. That's up to you. And I love that about style. And today's guest has a similar message. She wants women who are building businesses in the fashion space to realize they can do it their own way. And you don't have to follow the prescribed path that the fashion industry has traditionally put forth for you. And so it was because of that and a great many other things that are cool about this woman that I was so excited to get Nicole Giordano, the founder of Startup Fashion, on the show today. She started out in textile design and as a weaver. After deciding to start her own design business, she decided that she wanted to focus solely on helping emerging and independent designers build the businesses of their dreams. So she launched the Startup Fashion Community. It's a place where independent designers can get information, encouragement, inspiration, motivation, and real brass tacks tools for running their own businesses. I really admire what she's done, and I admire her go your own way ethos. So I'm excited to share her story, her advice, her tips with you today. Now on to the show. Nicole, welcome to the Spirit of 608 podcast.
Hi, thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Startup Fashion, who it's for, and how it works.
Sure. So it's for independent and emerging brands around the world. It works as it's an online community. It's a membership site, though we do have our blog, which is of course not membership based. And designers become a part of this community because they are looking to connect with other designers who are going through exactly the same things they're going through, to get advice, to get feedback, to access resources for building a business. You know, there's a lot that goes into building a business, but there's also a lot that goes into building a fashion business specifically. And so we filled this membership community with all kinds of information, guides, workbooks, videos, resources that focus on the different topics that independent and emerging brands really need to know as they grow. So it's a combination of all of those things. It's like a little hub and a little home as you're building your business in a very difficult industry.
I love the fact that you call what you're doing startup fashion. I think there's a tendency a lot of times for people to assume that startup equals tech platform and, you know, guys in hoodies coding away and all that. And what you're really, you know, pointing out with the name is that all of these women who are building independent fashion brands and, you know, whether it's a small business or you have a team in place and, you know, it is a startup, and there are a lot of issues that are at play with your traditional kind of startup company and also with an independent, you know, fashion-based business. And I'm curious, what led you to have that word in the title?
You know, I wish I could say that there was like some really profound thought process that went into this, but it was really like we began as a blog without any real idea of what this blog was going to become or what we wanted it to become, other than at the time it was a place for designers who were in that early stage. And that's how it began. Like, okay, you're starting something up here. So I was like, oh, okay, so maybe we would call it something like fashion startup. And of course that URL was taken. And I was like, I don't even know what else to do. Like, fashion startup makes the most sense. And then my partner in life and in the business, he's like, well, what about startup fashion? And I was like, oh. And I was like, well, surely that's taken. And then I went and checked and we're like, oh my gosh, it's not taken. So we just bought the URL, right? And so that was the beginning of like, okay, well, startup fashion, it's about getting your fashion brand going, about starting up your business. But over time, it's really evolved. And, you know, our members and our readers are in various stages of their business. And really, I think the word startup could apply to any part of their business that they're just trying to like improve upon, like just starting up, you know, making things better in one area over the other. I think at first I was, you know, focused on those people who are just in the very, very early stages. But I think the information we share, in particular, because maybe designers aren't as knowledgeable in all the various aspects of the business, there's always something they're starting up. There's always a new collection to make, or there's always a new area of business that they're learning. So I think it just kind of applies across the board now.
That's great. I mean, and it's so true. Like, you could have been working so hard for a year or two on your brand and getting the product right, but then you could be looking ahead in 2016 and saying, I really need to be starting up my marketing efforts or my press or whatever it is, because there are so many components and it's really hard to have all of them, you know, running smoothly all at the same time from the very beginning.
Yeah, especially as independent brands. I mean, that's what's really the important thread here, is that these brands are all, they're trying to do something and they're not coming at it with, you know, investors and tons of money to throw at this project, whether it's their savings or it's they've had some friends and family investment or whatever it is. They don't have access to endless amounts of money and resources coming from every direction. So they're never doing everything right from the beginning. You know, things come in time, as you said. So it is a really important
thing to keep in mind about who this community is and what their needs are as we continue to build the business.
Well, and you're alluding to this thing that so many entrepreneurs face, which is tough choices, right? And I want to ask you a lot about that sort of towards the middle of the show. But before I get there, mm-hmm. I wanted to talk a little bit more about how you got here, because you had a background in the fashion industry. You worked with various different fashion brands, and it seems like you could have gone in many, many different directions. How did you end up going into this type of, you know, space where you're actually helping people building brands instead of saying trying to work your way up the ladder within one brand or within, you know, the production side of the industry?
Sure. So, well, my background is in textile design. So I went to school to learn about textiles. I'm a weaver. And when I graduated, I very much knew that I didn't want to work, you know, in a cubicle under fluorescent lights, the repainting flowers, which is like the quintessential, like that's the thing that textile designers do right out of school. You just repaint flowers all the time. And so it's very much like, okay, I didn't want to do that. So what do I want to do? I don't really know, you know, the same things everybody goes through. And so I just started my own little collection. I had all of these fabric samples from college. I started making accessories with them and they started to get attention. So there was this like buzz early on in my belly, like, okay, I want to do something on my own, but I don't know anything about starting a business. I don't know anything about running a business. This is not stuff they teach you when you go to design school. Like I have no idea what I'm doing, but I thought, I'm young, I'll just do it anyway. So I did it anyway. And I learned a lot. And I failed a lot. And I had some successes. And overall, it started to go well, but it took time. I mean, I never quit bartending a few nights a week. It was something I always had to help pay the bills. But so it began with this feeling of like wanting to do something entrepreneurial. And then it shifted a bit because I was learning a lot. I was not in love with the designing as a business thing, mainly because I was doing everything myself. And so I had learned a lot about running a business, but there were some elements like team building and things like that, that I still knew nothing about. And so I was getting burned out really quickly. And around that same time where I was feeling like, this is so much, and I don't know what the next step is. And I don't feel like I'm really growing here. I feel like I'm just on this like hamster wheel. I started to get requests for help with things like social media and what is now called content creation. But at the time, nobody was using these phrases. It was like, you know, the mid-2000s, and Facebook was like starting to be a thing. And like, I was in my early-ish to mid-20s, so it came very naturally to me. So I started helping other brands build, you know, doing marketing and just kind of self-taught social marketing, essentially. And then I also started working with different brands, like big brands, for sourcing fabrics, because I knew textiles, right? Like I knew how textiles worked. So I could help them. They could say to me, oh, I'm looking for something that does XYZ. And I could bring them different fabrics that I thought would work for them. So I started doing different things just because I wasn't quite sure what the next step was. And then a big thing that sort of helped push me in the direction that I am now, sort of, was that one of the brands that I was working with content creation was from Singapore. And they asked me to move out there for a year to work with them more closely on the project, which was this super exciting opportunity. And I thought, of course I'm going to go. And I had to kind of like stop some of the other projects I was doing because this was going to be like full-time for a year in Asia focusing on this project. So I went out there, I learned a lot, I had a lot of fun helping them build this, but it also reminded me of how much I love the independent designer, because I thought back to myself in that early stage, and I was weaving and I was making things, and in the beginning, how much I loved that. And I knew that I wanted to do something where I could work with them. And I was continuing to get requests for help from independent designers, but unfortunately, they don't have big budgets, and I couldn't afford to live if I was taking these small clients. So when I came back from Singapore, I sat down and thought, okay, what am I going to do to take everything I've learned over the last decade, help a community of makers and designers and creative people that I just feel like a kinship with, but also be able to pay my own bills. And so that's where the startup fashion community idea came from.
Okay, so that is an awesome overview. I have a couple of questions about your path along the way. So What was it, when you think back to the, you know, early days before you went to Singapore, what was it that was bringing those brands to you? Because I think people listening may be like, okay, awesome. I would love to go through that period of time where I'm helping a bunch of different companies in different ways with my skills. And then I can figure out where I'm really, you know, best suited to head in the future. But how do you get those people coming to you at the outset? Were you just really connected in the community? Did you market yourself?
No, it was social media. I wasn't particularly connected in the community. I had moved to New York when this started happening, I had kind of just moved to New York from Philly. And so I wasn't very, very connected, but I was using social media. So the Startup Fashion blog had already begun as a blog where it was just me sharing what I knew. So I was demonstrating my expertise in different things. So I would just write posts about anything from fabric information to marketing stuff. I used my LinkedIn profile, like I filled it up with information. I, at the time, was tweeting all of the time. I don't quite use that as much as I did back then, but at that time, Twitter was a fantastic way to connect with people. And so, and maybe it still is, I don't know, but.
I know, I feel like Twitter is such it just makes me like let out a big sigh right now.
Yeah, exactly. The Startup Fashion Twitter strategy has kind of become just a place to share links to our articles, which still goes over really well, drives a lot of traffic to our site. But as an engagement tool, I think it, for me at least, it's just kind of, I'm just done. But at the time, these were the tools I was using. And so I was connecting with people that way. And through Twitter, I connected with someone who was running all of the marketing, the digital marketing for the WWD Magic trade show. It's like one of the big trade shows in the fashion industry that happens in Vegas. And she was like, oh, you know a lot about this industry. You know, can we fly you out here? Will you attend the show and cover the show? That was another thing that really helped.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was simply because of, I was like sharing things on Twitter. I was writing a lot. I think it was really important. I was writing a lot and then I was sharing it and I was talking to other people who were writing a lot. So, and you know, you're right, in that overview story, it was kind of like, oh, I did this and then it went 1, 2, 3. And that's not at all. I mean, this is, all of this was over the span of over a decade, right? Like I graduated from college in 2002 or something. And then the Startup Fashion community launched in 2013. The Startup Fashion blog launched in 2010. Like, it was a lot of years of just putting yourself out there, talking to people, constantly writing. Like, I think that's a big part of it, not being scared to just get out there and don't hide behind your computer, because I think a lot of us do. And it's funny because I say like Twitter and all of that, that does come from your computer, but I guess I mean it in the sense of like, don't just focus on this one thing that you're doing and spend all your time in it. Get out there, even if that is through your computer, just get out there and connect with people.
Well, and I also love that what you're pointing out is something that, you know, whenever I talk to young people, like making myself sound ancient, but you know, whenever I talk to people that are in their early 20s and they're like, oh, what advice do you have for me in my career? How can I get to this point, you know, that I wanted to reach? And I often will say, well, if you want to be doing a certain job or you want to be hired to do something, start doing that thing. And you will be putting yourself in a far better position to be recognized for that if you're already doing it, right? And it's like what you did. I mean, you were out there, you're creating this blog, you're creating content, you're putting information out there, and suddenly people are coming to you and saying, and maybe not suddenly, but eventually people are coming to you and saying, hey, you are an expert. We are going to, you know, bring you in to talk about this stuff, and they're, you know, engage with you. And I don't know. It's a great example of doing something in order to get where you want to go.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I completely agree. I understand what you're saying in it. A lot of people, young or even older, you know, they want to do something and they kind of wait for something to happen to trigger this thing. And it's like, it's on you. If you want to do it, you have to just start doing it. And sometimes it's just as simple as saying that to someone and it's like, oh, geez, yeah, duh. Like, and then they just start doing it. But I see that and hear that often as well. So I hear what you're saying.
Well, and I'm glad you just pointed out the age thing really quickly, that it doesn't, you don't have to be young, because I think that's something really, really important. There's so many people that, you know, and I recently moved out of the San Francisco Bay Area, but I felt like for so many years living there, that there was this idea that once you hit, you know, 30 or, you know, God forbid, 35, that you were sort of just done and off the cool map. And like, there was nothing cool that was going to ever happen to you ever again. And I am really big on this idea of, hey, like, at any point, no matter how old you are, what your past has been, you should be able to stop and, you know, put things together to have a life that you want to live. And so I'm glad that you kind of threw that in there, because you're right, it's not just if you're 22. So you started the blog 2010, and then the community came along in 2013. What prompted you to add the community aspect to what you were doing?
So we were looking for a solution to the problem of our own problem, or my own problem, I should say, of wanting to work with independent designers, but in a way that I could afford to live. So it's like, that was the first thing. Like, I can't help them if I can't, you know, pay for my cost of living. So that was first. And we're like, okay, how do I do this? Because consulting with independent designers is does not cover the cost of living in New York. We'll say that. But so that was one aspect of it. And then the other aspect of it was wanting to create a place for them where they felt like they could go. I think that there are a ton of communities or membership sites or whatever, blogs, that are focused on entrepreneurship as a whole. You know, okay, this is a place where you can become a member, you can join this community, and it's all about growing a business. And those things are great. But in my mind, I felt like there are so many specific needs of designers and so many specific topics in this fashion industry. So I really wanted to zero in on creating this same kind of community and this place full of resources for this specific niche, not just fashion designers, but independent and emerging designers who have this vision for what they want to do, or maybe they're already doing it and they are doing something that is not necessarily the traditional path in fashion and all of that. So it was, you know, to get back to the actual question, was just like, I wanted to create a place where they kind of felt like it was their go-to place, and they are surrounded by other people who are doing the same thing. Because I remember that feeling of loneliness from the decade before. I was just like trying to start something. I had no idea what I was doing, and I had no idea who to ask. And then when I found people who understood business and could like answer some questions around business, they weren't specifically fashion business. And not that you always need to talk to people in the fashion business only, but having that community of people in that specific business is so incredibly helpful. So that's kind of, you know, where we went with that. And there, it was just starting to be like this membership community business model was just starting to like really, people were like starting to do it more. And I've seen, even since we've launched, how in the last, you know, 2.5 years across the board, I'm not talking about just within fashion, but across the board, this business model just kind of makes sense. And more businesses are thinking about it, because what it means is you as an individual can take what you know and put it in a place where people can access it. You can also help them connect to other people, and you can build a legitimate business where you've reached a financial success that you need or want, and you're still able to reach a large group of people and really, really get out there with what you know, as opposed to like consulting, which a lot of people in fashion do, where you're kind of limited to the people who A, can pay for your services, and B, the number of people that you have the bandwidth for at a time. So, which is usually small.
Yeah. And I've had some experience in the past with trying to work one-on-one with independent artists and designers to help them with, you know, media, their understanding of the media. And so I totally hear what you're saying with it not being scalable. It's really hard to do that even when you really want to help people. So, you know, that model makes a lot of sense to me. I think they're also the really cool thing about, you know, creating a community like that is that, I mean, you're able to sustain yourself, but also the people, and the people get information from you, but they're also able to get information from each other, right? I mean, they can like interact.
Exactly. Because listen, like, I'm not an expert in everything. Like, and I never never will be an expert in everything. It's like I can share, I bring in experts to share information, but then like these designers are going through it now, right? They're you know, last week so and so went through the headache of trying to source this certain kind of zipper, and now this week someone else is looking for something similar, and that first person can be like, "Oh, I went here, here, and here. Try these places." You know, that kind of stuff is just invaluable. And I'm not in the thick of that because I'm not designing anymore professionally, right? So I'm not out there trying to source trims and fabrics, but your fellow designers are. They can share these things. And so it was really important for me to take it beyond just myself and the, you know, the experts in certain areas that we bring in to do, you know, webinars or talks or whatever, and really connect people with others who are in the thick of it.
Okay. Well, speaking of being in the thick of it, from your vantage point as somebody watching this community and the creator of this community, and the creator of a lot of content for people in this space, what do you see early stage brands and brands that are trying to build their businesses and take it into new places? What do you see as sort of the key things they are frequently struggling with? Are there kind of common things that people seem to be grappling with these days, whether it's, you know, sourcing materials like you kind of just mentioned, or, you know, other sort of more macro headaches?
Yeah, it's a combination. I would say one of the big ones is always money, right? So it's like, money. I don't have money to do this. So that's a very big, you know, topic. And there's a lot of advice and guidance we give in that area. And that would be a whole other podcast discussion. But, you know, they're often trying to figure out how to find the money to either get things started or find the money to, you know, continue doing what they're doing. And a lot of that comes down to really thinking about what kind of business they're building, at what stage, what kind of path they want to take, getting creative, you know, doing things like creating a piece, a signature piece, getting it out there, start making, you know, start building a community around this piece that you're making and start making sales that way. My point being, you don't necessarily have to create an entire collection right off the bat that costs thousands and thousands of dollars and invest in all this when you don't even know how well it's going to go over or anything like that. So there, financially, there's always a question around that. And we try to help them with creative ways, because the non-creative ways they're the basics and you already know them, right? You have to either you have some savings or someone's going to lend you some money, or you have excellent credit and you're going to take out like a personal loan or something like that, right? So we really try to help with that. The other things we hear a lot about are things like the sourcing, and we try to, like we said, we connect them with one another so that they can really share resources and information. We're very big on the kind of designer we're trying to attract here is someone who doesn't follow that old school, closed off, exclusive, I'm not sharing anything fashion industry thing that happens so often. You know, we're very big on, if you're a member of this community, it's because you want to give as much as you get. So that's one way we kind of address that. And then also just giving them guides. Like, these are the questions you ask when you start to source factories and you start to source materials. This is what you need to know. This is how you approach it. This is the talk. Like, here are some terms you need to know so that you're talking the talk and you sound like you know what you're talking about. So financial sourcing materials. And then one that I see often that they don't see and I have to point out is not spending time developing their brand early on, and what their brand, like their brand personality, what they stand for, what they value, why they're doing what they're doing. I think it's easy to assume you have that down early on, and then you jump into spending money on things and you really don't. So that your brand and how that connects to who your customer is, that is really, really important and something that they do struggle with. They just don't often understand that that's what they're struggling with. So we have to point that out.
So I think that's really good advice on the branding front. And I want to kind of follow that up by asking you sort of a big question that I'm sure we could talk about for like a year, but I'm just curious to get your thoughts, you know, briefly on it. But so, you know, these entrepreneurs that are in your community and building brands in the fashion space, say you're starting out, you don't have that much money, you have enough to kind of start producing a product, But there's so many things that you could sink your money into. You know, you could hire someone to do social media. You could get PR. You could have really nice photographs taken for your website. You could hire a web designer. You could buy really great, you know, materials, whatever it is that you're, you know, there's just so many options. And do you have any advice for how early stage entrepreneurs can make those hard decisions about where their limited resources are going to be best, you know, put and best focused?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, the first thing that's really important is the brand identity. And that's not necessarily a financial investment, though it can be. It's a lot of time. And I think that investing time tends to be something that people avoid just as much as investing money, or get nervous about just as much as investing money. So taking the time to really create this identity around your brand. Of course, understanding that it's, you don't have all the answers and your brand is going to evolve, but an investment of time and some money, I guess, if you want to, around that is always a good idea. I mean, it doesn't have to be thousands of dollars. You know, there's ways to invest in building a brand identity that will not completely break you. And then when you have that identity around your brand, and not before, then things like great photography are something, you know, that's something you want to invest in. But I see a lot of brands like so excited for the photo shoot that they book this photo shoot. They take all these pictures. The vibe of the photos has absolutely nothing to do with what it turns out their brand really is. And that's because they didn't spend any time really thinking about what their brand is. So photography is an, you know, something that you invest in early on because it is really important, but only after you have an understanding of your brand. And then another one that I think is not as cool, but is important, is like constant education, investing in constant education. And I mean that in the sense of like books, taking classes, joining programs. These are things that, you know, if you're trying to build something and you do not have tons and tons of money to spend, learning and like teaching yourself and going to places or reading books by other people who can help you learn is the best way to do this. I mean, that's how I built what I built, because I didn't have any education in business. And I made a commitment to just learning, like, okay, if I don't know how to do something, then I'm going to get on the computer or buy a book and learn this. And so I always advise designers to make it a priority, whether it's one book a month or taking a class like once a quarter, or, and it's, I'm not talking about classes like, you know, semester long classes. I took a creative writing workshop on Saturday because I thought creative writing can do wonders for me with my blogging. I'm not trying to necessarily write a book, so I didn't necessarily need to know about plot and character development, but it was exciting to learn about it and then think about how I could apply that to the writing I do, all my marketing, how to tell stories in marketing and blogging. So being really ready to invest in things like that, and it's not a huge investment. So
that's super solid advice. Do you have any other pieces of advice that you think any early stage fashion brand or any fashion brand in the startup mode would benefit from hearing?
Yes, I would say definitely know why you're doing what you're doing beyond the, you know, I love to do it, which of course is great. Think more about your values and the reason why you're getting into this, because when you know that, you can communicate it and you connect with people who care about those things too. So I would say that's a big piece of advice. Another one is to not think that you have to follow all of the fashion rules. You know, there's a very solid way, a structure built around the fashion industry, particularly here in New York, about how things are supposed to go, what you're supposed to consider as success. And I just always like to emphasize with designers that you get to decide what your business is going to look like, and you get to decide how it complements the lifestyle that you want to build. And don't ever think that you can't create a fashion business that is not exactly what you want it to be. Like, you can create whatever it is you want, you can create it. Just think about it and build it that way. So I would say that that's another one. And I guess, yeah, I mean, the other one is to never stop educating, right? Like, I've already said it, but I just think it's so important. So I'm going to say it again. Just keep educating yourself.
Wonderful. So we're coming up on the end of our time together. I have a couple of questions that I always love asking guests. The first is, if we were to hang out all day, what would I end up loving about you and what would drive me insane?
Okay, well, loving about me, I would say assuming that you're like in like a foodie and into eating, I'm always looking. I'm like always on a quest to find some new hole in the wall restaurant where like somebody's grandma's in the kitchen. So it would be a super fun day of like restaurant hopping and just eating lots of delicious, amazing food from all over the place. And I don't generally get full, so I'm just like ready to go to the next place.
That's awesome. I'm very pro eating. So
awesome. So I think that would, it would be a lot of fun. And then the thing that would drive you insane is I am probably the most impatient person on the planet. So I don't think that would go over well, but I'm working on it. So
it's if hard. If you had to put a motto on a t-shirt or a phrase and wear it around for the next 7 days, what would it be?
Probably do what makes you happy. A little cliche, but
no, but can't go wrong with that. Right.
Yeah.
So I always close out by asking guests if they have a question they'd like to ask me. It could be silly or serious, anything you want. I promise to answer it honestly.
Yes. So I'm very intrigued by this recent move of yours. Oh. And as someone who moves around myself a lot, I'm curious like how you see leaving a place like San Francisco full of action and creativity and all this, you know, entrepreneurship. And I'm sorry, did you go to one of the Carolinas or Virginia or something?
So I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Okay. So I'm just curious, like how you see that impacting your business and just being like an entrepreneur in general, like how do you see that affecting what you're doing, this change in venue?
Wow. Yeah. So I think about that a whole lot at the moment. you know, I used to, so back in the sort of mid-2000s and when I first started blogging and doing sort of digital stuff, I was very much tied to San Francisco. Like everything I did, I had a blog that was all about independent designers in San Francisco. I wrote for all Bay Area publications. My entire life was sort of, you know, if I had left then, it would have meant I had to give up all of that stuff. And things started to shift, you know, in the last couple of years where what I was working on, I started to look around and ask myself, you know, well, how would this be different if I wasn't physically in San Francisco at this moment? And there are a lot of things that will be different because I can't just run down, you know, the street or downtown and interact with somebody who is in a startup that is based there or go to some conference that may be there. But I see a lot of positive benefit to, you know, being more intentional about what I'm choosing to do, because I used to do a lot of stuff just because it was nearby, you know, and not so much because it was like the perfect fit for me or the direction I want to head in. Right. So that's one piece of it. But I feel like in the last couple of years, so much has become possible, you know, regardless of your location. And I have listened to a lot of podcasts and followed a lot of people in media, you know, whether you're talking blogs or, you know, just people that are reporting on various things from various places in the world. And I've just noticed that more and more, as long as you are really like focused on what you want to do, where you are isn't so much of a factor. And granted, you will have access to, you know, a lot of stuff in the Bay Area that you don't have other places, but it's really not scaring me so much as I feel like a bit of a kid in a candy store. Like I'm not really sure, you know, where to cherry pick the opportunities from now, because I feel like there's so much out there and I'm like so excited to get up to New York more because I'm only about an hour and 20 minutes, you know, by plane. So,
right.
But I mean, underscoring all this, I'm kind of rambling, but just to give you the full, you know, backstory, I ended up moving because primarily for family reasons, and my family lives nearby, and I wanted to be closer to my parents and, you know, as they're sort of going into the next phase of their lives. So, you know, that was sort of the impetus, and I'm really excited about the chance to have kind of a clean slate and like put my life together the way that I really want it to be, rather than just because it's how I've done it for the past 5 years, if that makes any right. sense.
It does. So. That's an awesome response. And I think, you know, there are also a lot of limitations that come in, you know, living in these big cities where everything is just so expensive and like your cost of living is so high that if you have a certain lifestyle that you want, it's just not as attainable in certain cities. And so, you know, I just find it fascinating. And it's something that I've thought a lot about. And when I heard about your move, I just thought, oh, I'd really like to find out more about how she sees that impacting, because, yeah, I think about it a lot. So,
well, maybe I'll hopefully be able to give people an update in like 6 months on how it really impacted me. Because, you know, frankly, at this point, I don't know if moving is going to have this insane impact on what I'm able to report on or the success of the show, you know, and right. I don't know if it's going to be positive or negative, but all I can do is just kind of move forward and try my hardest and get up to New York more. Right.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the show and letting me take up more minutes than I told you I was going to take up. If people want to connect with you and Startup Fashion, what's the best way to do that?
Startupfashion.com.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your advice and story with us. And I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. You have a great week too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Done and done. I love how she mentioned towards the end of our chat, two things. Know why you're doing what you're doing. And guess what? You don't have to follow all the rules. Two sentiments that have served me well in life, and I was thrilled to hear Nicole bring them into the conversation. I'm so glad to have you as a listener, and I hope this show left you better off than when you found it. Until the next show, come find me on Instagram at spiritof608. I hope you will join me next time for another conversation with a woman at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. As you know, I call it best, and it's the future.